Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave, and I'm on the ministry team here, and happy to be sharing. We are in the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 6 today. But before we read a passage of scripture from that chapter, just want to share an invitation with you. One of the things that continues to be very important to us as a ministry team is invitation. We do our best when we're in person. When we're gathering in this format, we want you to feel and be informed. We regularly are sending out on Friday mornings an e-post, which is a little bit like our church bulletin. We also, from time to time, share a community letter that highlights some things that we're thinking about, things that we want our community to know. And just this past week, a community letter was shared to hundreds of people. Perhaps you received that. If you didn't, and you were expecting that, perhaps you would check some of your inboxes or such, your deleted boxes, your junk mail, or maybe we don't have your up-to-date current contact information. Maybe you've never signed up for anything. The bottom line is we just want you to be informed. You can head to our website. There's places where you can fill out some contact information. Again, we're not trying to solicit anything. We just want our community to be informed about things that we think are important and perhaps things that would be regularly inviting our community to consider being a part of. So I'll just leave that with you. Let's turn to Acts chapter 6, reading the first 7 verses, and then we'll share some comments after that. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is God's word today. What's happening? Well, at this time, believing Jews were generally divided into 2 groups. There were those who had remained in Judea near Jerusalem, who used the Hebrew language, and who were appropriately called Hebraic. The other group consisted of those who were scattered among the Gentiles, who spoke Greek, the Greek language, and who used the Greek translation of the Old Testament. These were called Hellenists, from a Greek word meaning Greek or Greek speaking. Our text says at a certain time, there was a complaint against the Hebraic Jews, and that was brought to the apostles by the Hellenistic Jews. They were suggesting that the Hellenistic widows were being overlooked in the community's daily distribution of food. So it's happening. There's conflict. Again, here we are. The honeymoon stage for the early church seems to be over. They often say that as a group forms, there's the forming stage, the storming stage, the norming stage, the performing stage. They're in the storming stage. As a result of time that they've been together, numerical growth, an increase of need, and the challenge of uniting diverse groups of people. But again, notice that even as they had given priority to the person and presence of Holy Spirit, they're still facing human struggle and conflict. Unity, something that was a great tribute to this group early on, was being challenged now by Acts chapter 6. We see all through the New Testament that various writers, including Paul, urges believers, Ephesians 4:3, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Paul's advice is pretty straightforward because of how important unity is. For when conflict is not handled well in a relationship, in a family, certainly in a church community, it rarely goes away on its own. Instead, it tends to foster negativity. It can lead to broken and divided relationships, disunity, significant spiritual, emotional, and communal damage. Gossip can spread, trust is eroded, and the church's witness to the community can be severely damaged. Conflict. What are common causes of conflict? Beyond what we're reading in the text today, let's consider for just a moment this very important subject of conflict. Well, common causes, again, of conflict can be communication problems in terms of like poor listening, unclear expectations, value and belief differences, competing interests or goals, power and status struggles, personality clashes, role ambiguity or overlap, change and uncertainty, perceived injustice or unfairness, stress and or external pressure on an organization or a community, and resource constraints. These can all lead to conflict. And we know that conflict, if unaddressed, will always threaten unity. That is why it's important to put a name on it and to get people involved in understanding, is this a behavioral conflict or is this an organizational conflict? Certainly during conflict, emotions arise and they're often negative within friendship, families, and certainly within a church community. We're taught that, certainly in Scripture, that unity is precious. Unity within a spiritual community within a church, it's sacred. It's even called precious sacred. Therefore, when we find ourselves with conflict caused by differences of opinion or expectations or sin, we feel that something sacred is at risk. And it really is. We can sometimes put off addressing conflict at hand because we don't want to meddle around in something that is so sacred. We feel secular. We feel carnal sometimes because we find ourselves in the midst of conflict, and then we're trying to sort out something that is so sacred. But friends, the differentiation between secular and sacred should not be something that divides us. It should be something that we address that brings us together. We're taught in Scripture to seek God's will about all things. Therefore, when sharing in the midst of conflict, sometimes our opinions can sometimes sound like a resounding revelation. We can innocently play a God card. I've been praying and I believe God wants, or I've been reading and this is what the Bible says. While not wrong to pray and read the Bible to sort out conflict, we can inappropriately sometimes use language to identify disagreements or differences of opinion, and they can sometimes, because of that, feel like spiritual opposition. If someone we're in conflict with, whether it's behavioral organization, we can sometimes find that they are pitted as spiritual opponents or opposition, and it really isn't. So often, it's just simply human conflict. Learning how to deal productively within families and relationships and within a church to, to learn how to deal with conflict positively is so, so important. I once heard it said that motion causes conflict, or motion causes friction, motion causes conflict. So when things are moving ahead, there is a great possibility there will be conflict. Certainly Living Waters Church, certainly not a stagnant community, forward moving, forward facing. We've just announced all kinds of hopes and futures for our Willoughby Ministries this coming year. That's motion. Motion can cause conflict. Conflict is not always bad. Conflict needs to be addressed and needs our full attention. We can be confident that it's possible to learn how to handle conflict constructively, quickly, and positively. That is critical to long-term health and sustainability of relationships and church communities as church communities cease to move ahead towards all that God wants for them. And certainly moving ahead creates change. And change can create motion. Change can create conflict. And again, not all conflict is bad. A church is often the sum total of all its parts. So a church, if a church is full of people that have families and people and relationships that have never handled conflict well, the church potentially can be in a disadvantage. That is why a church needs to handle conflict well for its collective benefit, but also to model and be an example for individual members' personal relationships. One of the reasons that conflict is good for us because it eventually will reveal what's within us. What does that mean? Conflict exposes. It can expose pride, fear, insecurity, control issues, unmet expectations, and organizational weaknesses. Yet, as is in the case in our text, God will often use conflict to refine our character, clarify our vision, teach humility, and strengthen the people's unity by maturing people through the purposes of authentic communication and people taking and sharing responsibility for the health of the community. That's what we have in our text today. God used this time of conflict to strengthen relationships and the effectiveness overall of their shared ministry. The apostles, in summary, handled their conflict by delegating responsibility, by recognizing and releasing key people, and by keeping the mission of the gospel central. Let's just again unpack that just for a moment. What was going on in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7? There seemed to be an uneven care and even bias during the daily distribution of food, and this complaint included widows and others in need. Again, this seems to be a new problem. It really wasn't always like this. This is Acts 6. You go back to Acts chapter 2, and this is what was written about this community. They had all things in common, selling their possessions and good, they shared with everyone who was in need. So this, in Acts chapter 6, this communal lifestyle was a reflection of the unity and love that characterized the early church, and they sought to live out the teachings of Jesus Christ. So prior to this, in Acts chapter 2, the mechanism for distribution was when the generous gifts were brought in, they were placed at the apostles' feet. Acts 4:35 says, and they, it was generous gifts put at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. What we learn from our text today is that for whatever reason, between Acts 2 and Acts 6, that mechanism was falling short, and it was creating conflict. So to address the concern of inequity in daily distribution, the apostles convened the disciples and proposed a solution. By addressing the grievances of the Hellenistic Jews, the apostles demonstrated the inclusive nature of their Christian faith, which required of them a commitment to unity and equality. So it's recorded this way in verses 2 to 4. I read it earlier. The 12 summoned all the disciples and said, "It's unacceptable for us to neglect the word of God in order to wait in tables. Therefore, brothers, select from among you seven men according confirmed to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this response over to them and we'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So again, notice, they're recruiting counsel. They're recruiting people to help sort out a new solution. And they began to look for people to join the team, characterized by people full of the Spirit, people that have wisdom, people that had godly reputation, and candidates that would be able to be publicly affirmed through the laying and commissioned through the laying on of hands. Notice what we see here, that as the community was about recognizing and releasing, as the community was about building teams to serve in various ways to extend the reach formally, they were putting a name that all serving is spiritual, whatever the form. Notice again the characteristics, people that were full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, people that had a godly reputation. Duly noted that when we serve in ways that God has called us, when we walk out obediently the task and responsibility that God has for us, we are on a spiritual journey. We are engaging in spiritual activity and so need the Holy Spirit to fill us and the Holy Spirit's wisdom to do so. And we need to protect our godly reputation as we begin to work with other people and certainly work in sorting out conflict. Duly noted that when God instructs us to act a certain way and with a certain priority, which in this case was to care for widows, it becomes spiritual. And when it's spiritual, God will fill us with His Spirit to accomplish the task. He will give us spiritual wisdom that's not our own. And He will protect our reputation when we are trying to move ahead with the purposes of God. For the work of the Lord was never meant to be done under our own strength and with our own wisdom. So what happens? The community chooses seven men to oversee the distribution, ensuring that it would be this serving would be conducted fairly and efficiently. These men, often referred to as seven servants, seven deacons. I read the names earlier. Notice that most of these names are Greek names, which show the disciples' sensitivity to the concerned group of Hellenistic Jews. And it says in verse 6, they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. Note, God conferring the wisdom of the apostles through agreement among all the people. There was agreement that this was a more effective model and structure for the daily distribution of food. The apostles' decision to delegate the task of distribution allowed them to concentrate on their primary mission of preaching and teaching. It's a big example for us. As ministries grow, as churches grow, there needs to be the division of labor. And this is what happens here. The division of labor highlights the importance of different roles within a spiritual community, different roles within a church, each contributing in their own way to the overall purpose of spreading the gospel and caring for the community and sorting out conflict that arises when things are moving forward. For motion causes conflict. One of our values at Living Waters Church is recognizing and releasing. It's worded this way on our website. We value recognizing and releasing because Jesus wants everyone involved. We want to encourage and empower each other to be who Jesus uniquely made us, to serve and to share with many different people and places. We're passionate about the good news Jesus brings, believing each of us plays a part in Jesus' work in our local and global neighborhoods. Recognizing and releasing. This can create a tension because this value, I mean, all of our five church values, this church value asks of us to get involved. It asks us to get involved. This value is not just for some over there or primary leaders within Living Waters Church. This is a value that speaks to the core of who we are. And certainly at the core of who we are is everybody being involved. How? To recognize and to be recognized. To release and to be released. Notice the difference? To recognize and to be recognized and to release and to be released. So what does this mean? In order to live out this value, we must be known by others. For releasing is not possible without first being recognized. And to be recognized, we need to show up and we need to be serving and working together. We are at our best when we are doing these things. In sports teams, there's a term called present yourself. And whatever sport that is, certainly team sports, when we're in a team, we have to let others know that we're there. And there's all different kinds of ways to do that on a sports field or on a basketball court. But we need to present ourselves. We need to raise a hand to be recognized. Certainly in this value, things move forward through perhaps the adoption of two other words. Initiation and invitation. Initiation means I want to be recognized. We raise a hand. We let people know that we're here. And we make ourselves available to being, again, a part of helping things move forward. Certainly, again, in this context, when it comes to sorting things out or addressing conflict. And of course, it involves being invited by others. While this is easily applied perhaps to group activity, or maybe it's not, where it's so important to be applied within our church community. What about our own lives as well? There would be an application here for our own lives. Invitation. Who do we recognize and release to pray for us, to serve us, and to serve with us? Who are we inviting into our lives? A Christian journey is not about holy isolation. It's about holy relationships and us inviting people into that, recognizing people and inviting them in. It also involves, again, not just invitation, but initiation. Whose lives are we taking responsibility for? We are initiating our interest to be responsible, again, for how we can help, how we know that God is asking us, how God has gifted us, how God has qualified us to take initiation to be a part of people's lives. And again, as we talk more broadly, to be a part of our community. We also think about the older asking the younger for involvement. We think about the younger asking the older for involvement in their lives. So again, who do you recognize who is gifted different or thinks differently than you that you need around you? And who do you need to be around? Because, again, your giftings are different and you think a little bit different. So again, back to our text as we close. In Acts chapter 6, this conflict or threat of unity was handled so well. The division of the church was addressed quickly and it was addressed head on. There was a need to more effectively organize the church in order to meet the needs of their vulnerable, and that was discussed collaboratively. Action steps were made. People were recruited, recognized, and released, and it seemed good to all the people. And again, the apostles avoided being distracted from the focus of ministry God had for them, which was their focus needed to be on the Word of God and in prayer. Again, we notice that the church didn't fix the problem by trying to control it. They fixed it by sharing the need and finding new leadership. That's huge to appreciate in timely ways, certainly as Living Waters Church moves ahead. Again, this was possible because all parties involved wanted to be part of this solution. Conflict resolution is a lot harder to resolve when people choose not to be a part of something associated to a solution, but rather choose sides and point fingers. The major outcomes in Acts chapter 6, which we will talk about more in the weeks ahead, the church keeps growing and unity is restored. A problem became an opportunity. A template for how to deal with conflict was established and would be a reference point for the future. A new ministry model emerges where servant leaders or deacons are released to important ministries, important spiritual, practical ministries in the church. Primary leaders guarded their primary calling. All service within the community is now seen as spiritual activity. So the preaching and the teaching and prayer was now elevated no higher than the serving of tables and waiting upon the widows. All became important spiritual activity. And again, even priests came to faith, a sign of the gospel's growing influence. So in conclusion, I just want to say two things. As a pastor at Living Waters Church, I would speak on behalf of our team today. Thank you for the many ways that you promote unity within the life and relationships within Living Waters Church, the way that you nurture and protect the unity of Living Waters Church. Living Waters benefits from the unity we have as a community. It's been like that for a long, long time. And it needs to be like that as we make our way forward. Let's continue to practice godly principles so that we can confidently and quickly address conflict, conflict that would potentially challenge our unity. Conflict will arise from time to time. Living Waters Church, again, is about being forward-facing. It's about being willing to change. It's about being willing to adapt for the purposes of honoring God and being ever more effective as we seek to help people locally and globally. So thank you, Living Waters. Thank you who's joining us today. Thank you for what you're doing to protect and promote unity at Living Waters Church. And finally, would just say, perhaps as an individual, if you're facing some kind of conflict today, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you not to avoid it, not to set conflict over here and try to get along while you carry that heavy knapsack along. I want to encourage you today. Perhaps this has been helpful today. Put a name on it. Perhaps you would benefit from returning back in this message and seeing the list of where categories are identified to where conflict is, and perhaps identify what the conflict is, what the root of it is, put a name on it, and create an action step that you would take. And also, of course, it will involve the resolution of other people. Go about that. And if you would benefit from prayer or conversation around a conflict that you presently have, I want to invite you, our team would make yourselves available to being a part of helping you find some good resolution to the conflict that you presently find yourself in. I pray that you would have courage. I pray that you would have wisdom. And I pray that you would find around yourself people that are helpful to you moving along in healthy relationships, growing relationships, moving towards community, not away from community. Believe that's God, what God has for us this coming week and the months and years ahead for His honor and for the good help that He will be as we work and solve conflict. Let's pray. Jesus, today we thank you for your word. We thank you for wisdom that you give us. We thank you for the very practical ways that you seek to work in and amongst our relationships. Lord, we pray today that you would equip us and enable us to deal in positive ways with conflicts that arise up, whether they're relational or whether they're organizational, whatever the categories, whatever form they come our way. We pray today for one another that we would not allow conflict to discourage us, but rather to look at a present conflict as an opportunity to find a better way and to build better relationships, healthier relationships, productive relationships. We take a moment to thank you for Living Waters Church. We thank you for the gift of unity that we benefit from and have for so many years. And we do pray, Holy Spirit, that you would, may you, through the work of your good spirit and good wisdom you give us, help us to protect that unity in one-on-one relationships, one in small groups, and of course, as a larger community. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives and how you equip us to face the challenges in front of us and in the days ahead. We love you, Jesus. Lead each one of us as we go today into healthy relationships that will benefit us and where we can be a benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.